Have you ever looked at the wing of a regional turboprop and thought, what if the fuel flowing through those lines wasn't jet fuel at all? What if it was hydrogen? I'm Vector on Cleared Direct and this is Radio Hangar. Today we're going to dig into ZeroAvia, the company that is betting its entire future on replacing the turbine engine with a hydrogen fuel cell powertrain. And honestly, the engineering story here is more interesting than the press releases let on. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a real milestone in your flying first solo, instrument rating CFI, they make aviation challenge coins that actually mark the moment. Beautifully crafted, built to last, and they cover the whole journey. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. So let's break this down. ZeroAvia was founded in 2017 by Val Miftikoff, a physicist and pilot who previously ran an electric vehicle charging company. The premise from day one was not to build a new airplane, it was to build a new engine, a drop-in replacement powertrain that takes an existing airframe, rips out the turbine, and bolts in a hydrogen fuel cell system, driving electric motors. That distinction matters more than you might think, because it sidesteps one of the biggest problems in aviation innovation. Certifying a brand new aircraft takes a decade and $1 billion. Certifying a new power plant for an existing type is still brutally hard. But it is a fundamentally shorter road. The core technology works like this. You store hydrogen on board, either as compressed gas or eventually as liquid hydrogen. That hydrogen feeds into a proton exchange membrane fuel cell, the same basic chemistry that powered the Gemini spacecraft back in the 1960s. Inside the fuel cell, hydrogen meets oxygen from the air, and you get two outputs, electricity and water. That's it. No combustion, no carbon dioxide, no nitrogen oxides, no soot. The electricity drives electric motors connected to propellers. The water vapor exits as exhaust. If you've ever seen a fuel cell demonstration in a science museum, scale that up by a factor of about 1,000 and mount it on a Dornier 228 and you've got ZeroAvia's test program. Now here's what most people miss about why hydrogen is even in this conversation. We talk a lot about battery electric aircraft on this show, and batteries are real. The Pipistrel Valus Electro exists, but batteries hit a wall called specific energy. Today's best lithium-ion cells store about 250 watt-hours per kilogram. Jet fuel stores roughly 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That is a 48-to-1 ratio. Even accounting for the thermodynamic inefficiency of a turbine engine, which throws away roughly two-thirds of that energy as heat, kerosene still wins by a factor of 15 or so on usable energy per unit of weight. That's why battery electric works for a two-seat trainer doing 40-minute hops, but falls apart for anything carrying 20 passengers over 300 miles. Hydrogen changes the math. Compressed hydrogen gas at 700 bar stores about 33,000 watt-hours per kilogram, which is almost three times the energy density of jet fuel by mass, and fuel cells convert that energy to electricity at 50 to 60% efficiency, which is roughly double what a turbine manages. So on paper, hydrogen fuel cell propulsion should be competitive with kerosene on an energy per kilogram basis for regional missions. That is the physics case, and it is real. But here is where we need to be honest, because the physics case is not the whole story. The problem is not energy per kilogram. The problem is energy per liter. Hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe, and even compressed to 700 bar, it takes up about 4 to 5 times the volume of jet fuel for the same energy content. That means the tanks are enormous. On a small aircraft like the Dornier 228, which ZeroAvia has been using as their flying testbed, the hydrogen tanks eat into cabin space, cargo volume, or both. For a 19-seat regional turboprop, you're talking about redesigning significant portions of the fuselage or mounting tanks externally. Liquid hydrogen solves the volume problem somewhat because it is much denser than compressed gas, but it has to be stored at minus 253 degrees Celsius, that is just 20 degrees above absolute zero. The cryogenic tank technology, the insulation, the boil-off management, that is an entire engineering discipline unto itself. ZeroAvia's flight test program tells us where they actually are versus where they want to be. In September of 2020, they flew a modified Piper M-Class, a 6-seat aircraft, on hydrogen fuel cell power at Cranfield Airport in England. That was a genuine milestone, the largest hydrogen fuel cell aircraft to fly at that point. In January of 2023, they flew the left engine of a Dornier 228 on hydrogen fuel cell power, a 19-seat twin-engine aircraft with the right engine still running on conventional fuel. That was the first flight of a hydrogen-electric powertrain on a commercial-size aircraft. Both of those are real achievements, but notice the pattern. The Dornier flew with one hydrogen engine and one kerosene engine. The hydrogen powertrain was producing about 600 kilowatts. The full replacement powertrain for that aircraft needs to deliver around 1.5 megawatts. They're not there yet, and scaling a fuel cell stack from 600 kilowatts to 1.5 megawatts while keeping the weight low enough to be viable on a 19-seat aircraft is not a matter of just bolting on more cells. Thermal management alone becomes a different problem at that scale. When you're converting hydrogen to electricity at 55% efficiency, the other 45% comes out as heat. At 1.5 megawatts, that is 675 kilowatts of waste heat. You need radiators, coolant loops, and airflow management that add weight and drag. The data tells an interesting story when you look at ZeroAvia's public timeline. They originally projected a certified 600 kilowatt powertrain for 9 to 19 seat aircraft by 2025. That target has slipped. Their current guidance points to certification in the 2027 to 2028 window for the ZA600 powertrain and a larger 2 to 5 megawatt system called the ZA2000 for 40 to 80 seat regional aircraft by the early 2030s. In aviation development, timeline slippage is the norm. Not the exception, but it is worth noting because every year of delay is a year that sustainable aviation fuel gets more established, that battery energy density creeps upward, and that airlines solidify their decarbonization strategies around other solutions. Let me talk about the airport side for a moment, because this is something that gets overlooked in almost every hydrogen aviation discussion. Today, there is essentially zero hydrogen refueling infrastructure at airports. None. Jet fuel infrastructure took 80 years to build out. Every commercial airport has fuel farms, hydrant systems, fuel trucks, quality control labs, and a supply chain stretching back to refineries. Hydrogen needs its own parallel infrastructure. You need either on-site electrolysis, using renewable electricity to split water into hydrogen and oxygen, or you need truck delivery of compressed or liquid hydrogen, or you need pipeline connections that mostly don't exist. You need high-pressure dispensing equipment. You need new safety protocols because hydrogen is flammable in a much wider concentration range than kerosene and burns with an invisible flame. You need trained ground crews. You need updated airport fire codes. ZeroAvia is aware of this. They've partnered with airports including Rotterdam, The Hague, and Edmonton International in Canada to begin developing hydrogen refueling capabilities. The UK government has funded some of this work through the Aerospace Technology Institute, but building out fueling infrastructure for even a handful of launch airports is a multi-year, multi-hundred-million-dollar project, and airlines will not buy hydrogen aircraft until the fuel is available at their routes, airports, while airports will not invest in hydrogen infrastructure until airlines commit to hydrogen aircraft. It's the classic chicken and egg problem, and it is arguably the single biggest barrier to hydrogen aviation, bigger than the powertrain engineering itself. Now, who else is in this space? ZeroAvia is not alone. Universal Hydrogen, which was founded in 2020, took a different approach. Instead of piping hydrogen to airports, they developed modular hydrogen capsules that could be loaded into aircraft like cargo containers, using existing airport ground handling equipment. It was a clever infrastructure workaround, but Universal Hydrogen ran into financial trouble and ceased operations in 2024. That is a cautionary data point. Airbus has their ZeroE program targeting hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft by 2035, but that is a clean-sheet airplane design, not a retrofit, and Airbus timelines for new programs are measured in decades. There are also smaller players like H2FY in Germany, which flew a liquid hydrogen fuel cell aircraft in 2023 and has since been acquired by Joby. Here's what I think the honest assessment looks like for hydrogen electric flight. The physics works. Hydrogen fuel cells produce enough energy at low enough weight to theoretically power regional aircraft. That is proven at the small scale. The engineering is hard but solvable. Fuel cell stacks are scaling, electric motor technology is mature, power electronics are advancing rapidly. The timeline is real but long. Do not expect to book a ticket on a hydrogen-powered regional flight before 2030 at the earliest, and the early 2030s is more realistic for commercial service on a handful of routes. The infrastructure is the hidden wall. This is where most optimistic projections fall apart. Building hydrogen supply chains at airports is a massive civil engineering and logistics challenge that has barely started. And here's the competitive question that ZeroAvia has to answer. If sustainable aviation fuel can be produced in sufficient quantities and blended into existing jet fuel at increasing percentages using the infrastructure that already exists at every airport on the planet, why would an airline take on the cost and complexity of hydrogen? The answer has to be that hydrogen is ultimately cheaper per seat mile when you factor in carbon costs, or that regulatory mandates force the transition, or both. Right now, neither condition is clearly met. But I will say this. The engineering team at ZeroAvia has done something that most aerospace startups never manage. They have flown real hardware on real aircraft multiple times, and they have demonstrated the core technology at a scale that is within striking distance of commercial relevance. That puts them ahead of the PowerPoint companies. Whether they can close the gap between a 600 kilowatt demonstrator and a certified production powertrain in the next few years will tell us a lot about whether hydrogen has a real seat at the table for aviation's future, or whether it remains the fuel that is always 20 years away. The way fusion power used to be, much of what I've drawn on today comes from ZeroAvia's published flight test data, the Royal Aeronautical Society's Hydrogen Aviation Analysis, and reporting from Aviation Week and Flight Global. You can find more about the show at radiohanger.com. That's it for this one. The fuel of the future might not come from a refinery, it might come from water. The question is whether we can build the road between here and there. I'm Vector Fly Curious.